This is a recording of January 24, 2018 regular Board of Directors meeting to convene at 4 p.m. at the boardroom of Chugach Electric Association at 5601 Electron Drive, Anchorage, Alaska.
4:03. Let's stand for the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Right. So, roll call. We have a full house in person. That's excellent. So, present, we have Director Reed, Director Cooper, Director Morse, Director Henderson, Director Crawford, Director Park, and myself, all present in the room. And we have a safety meeting.
Could you?
Excellent.
Are you ready for the safety minute?
We are.
All right. Okay, as you can see from the slide and also from the agenda, today's topic is ice safety. How many people here have walked out on ice and wondered if it was thick enough or did some sort of evaluation? So those are some of the things we're going to cover. So this picture is taken at Beer Can Lake. That's my bike. So what do you suppose I used to figure out if I could ride my bike across that thing?
Sheer luck.
Sheer luck, yeah. That's what I did. Just kind of rode out and saw what happened.
I did.
Yes.
So they ride.
So in that case, I think what I did, I remember, is I looked to see if someone else made it across the ice. You can see the footprints going across there, which is an indication that the ice would probably hold. What else could I do?
Well,
I can look at the color of the ice, and so you can see, and I got a slide coming up, we'll talk to just that, but that ice has a particular color, and that's giving me some data to help me assess that ice. And thirdly, I could possibly determine how thick that ice is. And I think we've done that before. We go, oh, how thick that is. That'll look to be about 6 inches. We could go to the next. Okay, so this is kind of our little chart that shows us that the color of the ice can be used to tell you how thick it is. So if you remember the picture I had before, show that ice is transparent blue, black. That's a pretty good indication that the ice would be safe to walk across. I remember skating down at Westchester Lagoon and being out in the center of that lake, and I remember that ice being distinctly very dark as well. From there, it goes downhill pretty quickly with all the rest of the colors from weak, weaker, and weakest to your white, opaque ice, gray ice, and white and gray. So next time you're on the ice, and you can use color as a feedback mechanism. How's that look? So, does anyone recognize that particular lake? Yeah, that's a clue to that. I'm not sure what color that ice is. That's not me riding across now. I kind of took that off with an Anchorage fat bike. That ice looks kind of sketchy to me, but apparently it's holding up well. That looks to be kind of greenish, but holy cow. I'm not sure I would ride completely across the Clinton Lake. Here's our ice thickness, 2 inches to 12 to 15, 2 inches at the far left, stay off the ice. Once you get to 4 inches, we can start ice fishing, like all the people in Minnesota where I used to live like to do. You get up in a half inch, that's when we can get snowmobiles and ATVs. I don't know why you would drive a medium truck out on the ice, but I guess there's a time and place to do that as well. Obviously, this is all weight-based. The thicker the ice, the more weight it can hold. More than better. All right, it wouldn't be talking about ice safety if I didn't talk about what you would do if you fell into the ice. I like this, the art of madness. What to do if you fall through the ice. You know, sometimes safety is provides some really interesting tidbits. As I read through this, I think last year we did some training on what to do if you fall into really cold water. First tip is, what do you remember if you fall in cold water? It's going to shock you really bad. So if you can get through that first couple minutes, that's the key, is to recognize it's going to feel really bad. Don't hyperventilate. And then once that passes, you can get your wits about you and attempt to climb off. Slide number two, orientate yourself to the ice. So you want to head in the direction that you fell from or were walking from, because clearly that ice was holding you and then it didn't. Don't try to pull yourself straight up. You want to be horizontal, so you kick your legs. That's going to help you do that. Lie flat on the ice and roll away should you get out of the hole you fell into. I like the fifth slide. I've never seen this before. If you have a beard, it can help you because it says your beard can freeze on the ice and retain you.
But if you're a woman.
Yeah, you're probably, well, maybe you're a
woman. Actually, no. The same thing, they still say your clothes, your sleeves would probably freeze.
Yeah, and since you see that point, they also say, which is interesting, it says, boy, I think we have to go there, it says, leave your arms out on the off chance that you do lose consciousness. Your arms will be frozen to the ice, and should your friends and family find you later, you're still able to be rescued. So that's a tip too we could also do. And clearly, if your friend falls through, it suggests to talk them through at a distance rather than becoming victim number two. So there's our ice tips of the day. Clearly, we're at risk in Anchorage. I imagine all of us have had some ice encounter. At the table, I have some traction devices. They come in different shapes and sizes, small, medium, and large. These are available to you to take as your traction devices. And if someone is lacking a size they need, just let us know and we'll reach out to that size. Questions?
If you're on cross-country skis and you're out in the middle of a lake, I presume it's reasonable to think that my weight is spread out and I'm less likely to go through.
Well, for sure. So that's no different than we used to go across Seneca Lake in the 70s when it froze over and people would cross it on a ladder for just that reason, to distribute the weight across a larger surface area. So yeah, you have a margin of safety there. I wouldn't push it on sketchy ice, but it does work in your favor versus if you're just on your own. Anything else?
Okay. I should have just asked Stuart.
All right. Thank you.
What I'm doing this week.
That's what you were doing. All right. Thank you very much for that. And let's move on to approval of the agenda. Is there a motion for approving the agenda? That we approve the agenda as written.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on approval of the agenda? Let's take a vote. Oh, well, I was hoping, is it in the agenda some type of discussion on the MEA proposal?
Yes.
MEA proposal. Okay. All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none, let's take a vote. All those in favor of approving the agenda as written, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the agenda is approved as written. With that, we are going to take a quick executive session. We would like to talk about that upcoming election, and we'll come back after executive session. We just want the board to have a little chance to have a discussion. So we are going to excuse folks in the room if I have a motion for the first executive session.
Yeah. I move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 10.25.175(c)(2), the Board of Directors go into executive session to engage in a deliberate process addressing personnel matters that may tend to prejudice the reputation of or character of a person. However, the person may request a public discussion.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor going into executive session? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you. Out of executive session, we are going to move on to new business. Item 4A, the election of new officers. So we have a board chair position to fill, and we will go through that first, and depending on the outcome of that election, we may have other positions that we need to back up. So I may need guidance from Tom. I just want to make sure I'm running this properly, so maybe you could just give us in a little nutshell what we should do first.
Sure. So the bylaw say if there's a vacancy, you vote to fill the position for the remainder of that term. You mentioned that the chair seat officer position is vacant. Depending on the vote, if any of the other officers get nominated and elected to that position, then you would need to have another vote to fill that. So you have secretary, treasurer, and the assistant chair. So if any of those three get nominated and elected to the chair position, then you'll have a second vacancy to fill. So you just open the floor for the nominations. If there are two nominations, you can vote at one time. You know, you would say, all in favor of Director ABC, raise your hand. It has to be done, by the way, the bylaws say it has to be done so that the members know how each director voted. So it needs to be a roll call vote. So all in favor of ABC, raise your hand. All in favor of XYZ, raise your hand. And you need to decide which one of those two you're going to vote for, because the total needs to be seven votes, right? If there are three that get elected, then you would vote to eliminate one.
Nominate.
You would vote to eliminate one and then vote on the two remaining.
Is there an ability of a director to abstain from the vote?
That is an... You can abstain. I don't think it's recommended. You can abstain.
That's the chair position.
Let's see how many people are in favor of Mudd. Then you still have to record whose hand is up.
An abstention actually counts as a no vote when you're counting. So.
Oh.
Actuality, it would be like a no vote. So.
Yeah, because you're going to need four votes to elect.
All right. Well, I nominate Bettina Chastain for chair.
Second. Do we second these?
I think you need a second to the nomination.
Okay, and then I'll nominate Kim.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
And a second.
Are there other nominations for board chair? Okay. These nominations are closed. Thank you for that. So we have two nominees for the position of board chair. And let's see, how do I get this roll call vote? Should I go by name?
If the directors have in mind who they want to vote for, it really shouldn't matter who gets called to vote on first. In other words, you know, you could say all in favor of yourself, raise your hands. As long as they're only voting for one, it shouldn't matter who goes first.
Okay. All right.
I'll say it. All those in favor of Bettina, because she doesn't have to say it. All those in favor of Bettina Chastain, please raise your hand.
Okay. So the role of the chair is myself, Bettina Chastain. And the vote was 4-2-3. Is that correct?
You didn't vote?
At 4-3 is fine.
Okay. Alrighty. With that, we now have to fill the vice chair position. So do we have nominations for the role of vice chair?
I nominate Susan.
Second. Are there?
And I'll nominate Kim again.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Other nominees? For vice chair position. Okay, hearing none, let's take a vote on Susan Reeves to fill the position of vice chair. All those in favor, raise your hand. Okay. All right. So that was a vote for Susan Reeves for vice chair, and the vote was 4-3. Okay. So let's move on. Persons to be heard.
Madam Chair, I think I saw five hands.
Five hands for?
Is that what you said?
I said four. I saw four hands.
I saw five.
Can we re-raise our hands or?
I can.
Okay. That was five. Okay, thank you. Thanks for that. So, any person to be heard? Right there. See any? Move on to the consent agenda. Just a mention of there's some upcoming conferences and training. If anyone is interested in the Gettysburg Leadership Experience, the deadline for that is March 1st. I don't know if there's any interest there.
I am. I've tried to go for this. This will be the third year. We need leadership.
Okay, just make sure you get your stuff in there to come before the 1st of March.
Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Connie, do we have some sort of password so we can get to those materials? I think Stuart gets them. But, you know, they have a lot of governance stuff. And
well, for the treasure stuff?
Yeah.
You were supposed to set that up.
Oh, okay. Well,
right.
All right.
You should have gotten an email.
Right.
You should have gotten an email which instructed you how to get your. You paid for the membership, so.
Yeah.
But this Gettysburg one is actually an NRECA class.
Yes.
Okay.
A little different. And then the Washington, D.C. Legislative Conference, I don't know if anyone is interested in that, but just keep that in mind as their lines out there. Around the same time, March 2nd. Anything else on the consent agenda? If not, do I have a motion for approval on the consent agenda?
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion? All those in favor of approval of the consent agenda?
Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none, the consent agenda passed unanimously. And with that, we will move on to item number 7, CEO reports and correspondence. Are there specific items that folks would like to talk about, or Lee, you have very specific things that you'd like to
The fourth quarter safety report definitely looks good. We will say that we did have an injury. We had a French lineman fall from a pole about 10 feet this week. He is still in the hospital. He has two fractured ankles and is in traction. I visited with him yesterday. He's in good spirits, but it's going to be a while for him for recovery. So best wishes to him and his family. But it's going to be a long haul for him. And I don't have anything else. The member attitude survey was pretty much as it's been. It was not quite, it was like 3-4% different than what it's been, but from the sounds of it, all of the statistics for all the utilities have gone down a little bit, and the surveyor has said that is generally true in an economy that's, you know, down a little bit. People are less optimistic, so that might be some of the reason why we see a slight reduction. But when you look at the statistics, you know, you're plus or minus 5%, so you're still probably, you know, we're still in the high 80s, which is still good. So it's a small downtick, but I don't think I'd worry too much about that.
Well, we weren't a standout utility in terms of going down.
Yeah. I mean, we went from like a 90 down to 88 or 89. I mean, it's not significant. So I wouldn't be too concerned with that. I think it's pretty steady. Based on the historical review. But it's there for your, you can look at it, you can see what the trends have been for the last 10 plus years.
Okay.
Yeah, I read this thing. I'm going to throw some red flags. I hate to see things that always are terribly positive. I know the life world isn't that way. I think that's one of the things that's been said numerous times. Is this thing really address the issues? I just have problems with everything being rosy. And I know that everybody takes an effort, and we've looked at it numerous times, and Janet asked that numerous times, you know, are we really testing this thing? But are we really that rosy, guys? I understand it's hard to get a good feel for it. And, I mean, I don't know how hard it is. Tyler makes a yeoman effort at this project. But how many of the people out there even know we're a cooperative? I mean, we've said that for years. Nobody knows we're a cooperative. And that's the most important single aspect of this organization. I mean, you guys make the decision. You're the board. And I know that they try. I know that Lee tries. And I know that Tyler tries like crazy. And he talks to people. But I always wonder. I mean, it just keeps making me... You know, I wish I were perfect, too.
So is your concern that we're maybe not asking the right questions?
Or? Yes, it doesn't really reflect what's going on. Does it? That's my question. That's what they've been saying. That's what we've been saying for years. Does this really touch on the things that the people see out there? I don't know.
You guys have something.
I think we did look at another survey that was done by Touchstone Energy, and we did that one this last year. We wanted to do it again, and it takes a look at a number of different things, and it probably gets into more of the issues that Jim is talking about do you realize that you're a co-op, and that it was a different review, so I think it's going to be worth doing that one again and bringing that result back to the board.
Yeah, and it's partly what Julie does. It's communication. It's, you know, helping people realize where we are, and the better they understand it, that this is an organization. And by golly, we got our challenges in the Brazos. We got more challenges than you guys ever experienced in the Brazos. And I said to her, she's key, and she says, don't say that to me.
Can I just make a couple points? First of all, this survey is just our members. It's not the public at large. So we're asking our members these key questions about reliability and overall service and restoration. And so, yeah, we went down a few points in those areas, but the pollster said not statistically relevant when you look at the margin of error. And I thought it was interesting that all the other utilities went down except ACS, which had a slight increase. But their positive rating is 54%. Our positive rating is 86% among our members. And then if you look at NSTAR, assuming pretty much everybody's going to be an NSTAR customer, their overall positive is 77.1%. Again, way below us. So I think that maybe we need to ask different questions in a future survey, but these are still questions that matter to our members. If you look at what's the most important thing for them, is still reliability. And we ask them about reliability. So we didn't do the Touchstone survey this year, 2018, because of the sale. We think there's going to be too much noise. But we can look at the Touchstone survey again next year when we do this wholesale thing. So I still think there's a decent gauge here, and we have 22 years of data to look at. But we certainly can look at the questions and ask more and different questions.
Susan, I was going to build on what you just said, that I think we put a lot of effort into this a couple of years ago, and we considered tweaking this and having it be, you know, kind of put more effort into it and make it unique to our circumstance at the time. And the advice we got from Helen Thal, or whatever his name is, and you probably at the time was, let's do that in other surveys, but let's try to keep this one the same so that we can actually measure one against another. This isn't the way we reach out to our members. It isn't the only way.
Right.
And we But I just wanted to point out one thing that I thought was interesting on the where do you feel positive and negative, that, like, nobody seems to care about the rates. Like you said, they care that there's no problem, that they get good service, that they get reliable power, that we have good customer service. And rates is 3.5%. So that's just a really interesting thing to me, that you're right. They want the power, as I do, the power to come on when they plug something in, and they want somebody to come and fix it if it doesn't. But
But we can do other questions in the future. Just this is our baseline that we try not to mess with. Stuart?
I fully see, understand what Jim's trying to go for, and I do like having a baseline that's very consistent. Where, when Jim was talking about, you know, nobody's perfect, where that's really, that drives me to think about KPIs on how the organization is performing and what's going well, what's not going well, and what we need to focus on for improving. And I do this with my customers, my clients, and I have actually, yesterday afternoon, I was told that they really appreciate me being honest, showing that I am in red in this area, and what I'm doing to improve it. So I do like the idea of understanding where our challenges are as an organization and what we're doing to address those challenges.
You know, there's another thing that on his note, and a different approach, but it's called safety management systems. But it is this constant cyclical review, see where your errors are, make your policy change, check them, see if they're implemented, see what they produce, check it again, start all over, start that circle. Exactly what Stuart's doing. And we need to see where, I understand the baseline, but sometimes your baseline may be the wrong baseline. And I'm not telling you it is. I don't know. That's my problem. I don't know. I just know that it's always rosy. And I wish the world were always rosy. But, stop it when it wasn't this bad year.
I think our challenge is that they're not always rosier. I think they're showing in the policy surveys that that's where our members may not agree with what we're doing. So, but I think it's important to keep them separate, or like from time to time, different initiatives separate from this one. I don't know if there's other measures to add to this, fine, but if you have the days versus last year's.
So I wanted to ask something or talk a bit about the HSE, the safety portion, if we can go to that part of the safety report. First off,
so we're good with this
first? I am.
Thank you.
First off, it's really impressive going 5.37 in January and dropping that lost time rate down. I know we had a incident where a person was out for 2 or 3 months straight, and that really drove it up. I do like that. It appears that we had a great trend and kind of, you know, and doing quite well, except we did have an incident a couple days ago. Are we staying fresh on trying to maintain that? And where I'm going to is I see the number of preventable incidents year to date 2017, and that's where we went up to one preventable. However, it says we have a goal of 3. Are we really trying to get 2 more? You know, for the goals I feel should be low for safety.
Well, 3 is low because it goes with the because that goes with the first chart. Recordable incident rate, those two are closely related, right? And so, no, you know, nobody ever sets goals to have injuries, but you have to have a target to beat. And I'm glad you noticed, and I appreciate the questions about this because we don't always get them. The preventable is a new measure that we want.
I'm good with this one.
The preventable is a new measure that that we're really wanting to experiment with some because it tells you things that you can really focus on. Those are the injuries and accidents that you can really learn from. The 1 in 10,000 lid that flies off of a pressurized transformer that we can't find anybody else in the industry that had happened, it's tough to learn from that one because it's a crazy anomaly. But if it's preventable, then you know it's rich for learning, that basically something that we should have been doing either as managers or workers or people who supply resources should have done better. So we wanted to get that measure in here because that shows that we're trying to stay fresh and focus on things that we can learn from. And the 141, I'll tell you, I think that shows two things. One, resilience in our employees. There was a time not so many years ago when I first started working here where if the first quarter went that bad, the curve would have just kept going up, right? So I think that demonstrates that our programs and mostly that our employees are engaged on this topic. And that's through all the conversational activities that we support and the traditional stuff. I made Marty do this chart twice because I said, I'm not sure I recognize that company. I think this is the first time we beat the national average. So I was kind of like, wow, go check that because I'm not used to being below the orange line. So I think that's a lot for our folks to be proud of in operations and generation. And then, you know, you still have to do the traditional stuff too. So, you know, we did some recognition company-wide for those folks back in December to make sure everybody knew that they beat the national average for the first time in known recollection around you guys. So, you know, our safety management information system, you can see that we're tracking things better than ever before. I think that keeps us fresh. This most recent incident, I can tell you that so far, everybody involved has been very forthcoming. Chugach 10 years ago, maybe not so much, right? So I think that's terrific. And that's part of, for us, the freshness is about getting people talking, have conversations about what we can do better. And when we have a bad day, make sure everybody shares that so we can learn from it, which we didn't always get the chance to do. So.
Yeah, no, overall, I think you guys have done phenomenal, both from the national average standpoint and also from the time standpoint. Over the last 10 years, 5 years, you continue to drive it down. I just want to make sure it remains a key focus, and I'm sure it will.
We
don't want it to go back.
With no offense to Director Crawford, we will pursue this like Alabama running the score up. We're not putting in the third string and take a breather before we get to score a point.
Madam Chair, the one thing I brought up with all the employees on Monday is, you know, I know that we're going through this transition. A lot of discussions with the acquisition, and that's always unsettling for people. And I said, make sure that these are exciting times. Make sure you focus on safety, number one. That was kind of my headline for the week for everybody is make sure you're focused on safety because there's a lot of other things that are going on. So,
this is from my past experience, folks. This is what I was bringing to the floor was I've watched this. I've watched this very event that he's talking about. A lot of people, and I don't have a pen here because I wish I did, was Pat Patterson, the president of United Airlines. He was down on the floor, Lee. He was down on the floor talking to the people, and that's what you've got to do. That's what Herb Culver does at Southwest, the only airline that has consistently made money every quarter. He was down on the floor. You've got to continue that touch with the people here. It's so crucial. If you don't, they lose sight. And you are the spokesman. You are the spokesman. And you are the image. Please, get down on the floor. Walk out there. Go to the job site. And it's an awesome, time-consuming effort. But these are times right now, the next year and a half, are going to eat this organization's derriere, guys. I've lived it. You have no idea the gut wrenching that goes on when you're inside the organization being merged. You have no idea the rumors mill and the rumors that people generate, and you've got to stop them now because they will kill this place. So please, they try to spend more time on the floor. I mean, I know that the office is horrendously demanding at this point, and everything is on your shoulders. And these folks here, they've got big shoulders. Every one of them's got big shoulders, and they'll carry it.
I hear you loud and clear. We had, I met the employee at the hospital yesterday. We had, I had lunch with, we started doing luncheons with a group of 10 employees. We're going to try and do that every month so I can get out. Mm-hmm. And so we are trying to ratchet this up and get out more. And we will definitely do that. So it is important.
I'm going to support your statement about the fellow fell. When my father got burnt and he was a United employee, United Airlines, Pat Patterson came to the hospital 200 miles south. The president came to the hospital 200 miles south. Now, the United was, that's the 50s, but it was 10 times the size of it. So he took the time.
Thank you.
Anything else on the safety report?
It's commendable.
Thank you for the questions. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Anything else?
Oh, I had a question on the survey. I wasn't anticipating the switch.
Nothing too fast for you.
Yeah.
Julie?
I'm sorry.
We're going back
more
on the survey.
More questions on the survey.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm back up. I just heard you say a comment that there's a lot of noise because of the merger, and talking about sort of a timing for a survey or some of the questions that maybe Jim has suggested. But I think there might be some interest if we could look into it in really having the before and after the merger. So, and maybe different questions because, we have the tremendous richness of data, but, do you understand what your, do you understand the structure of CHUGAT? Do you understand how rates are calculated? Do you understand this kind of stuff? And see, what that's like now, what that's like through the merger, and what that's like at the end of the merger when we get MLMP members in as CHUGAT members. Like, I think there'd be value to thinking if we had some way to do a pre, during, post, assuming that everything went forward. I don't know if there's plans for that or if that would fall under member attitudinal survey or something else.
Well, I'll just say this. So we did this survey in January, or late December, early January, which is good. It was before the sale. I think it was December before the sale was announced. There are no plans to do any sort of messaging between now and April because we just don't think our members can be hit with a bunch of different messages. We don't want to be bothering them on the phone. Mm-hmm. We're going to have our sale messages, and we're going to have our election coming up at our annual meeting. And we have to mail them and talk to them about the upcoming CHUGAT. So, in all honesty, we don't have plans right now to survey them about this stuff.
And you feel it's too crowded.
I do think it's too crowded. I really think it's too crowded.
And if we want to talk more about this, let's do an executive session under the PR update.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, anything else under CEO reports and correspondence?
I had just a question on the variance report. And I don't know, it was on the energy revenue, and the comment was that this variance was offset by the revenue was lower than expected due to lower than anticipated large commercial sales and lower than anticipated rates. And it seems like, how could we not know what our rates were going to be? That's the comment. I mean, did we expect rates to be higher than what they were approved or something?
I think the rate projections were done well over a year ago.
That's what
we're looking at. And so many things change through time. They update the depreciation study, sales levels, and so forth that have an impact on that.
Okay. So it would be our internal adjustment of what we expected the rates to be, and this is just reflecting that.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anything else?
Madam Chair, under the Board of Trustees dinner on March 8th, we've been invited as the CEO and the chair of the board, and so if the board is interested to attend that, the offer is open.
All right, thanks for that. I'll put that. week I would be around and we'll see if someone wants to
go
in that place. All right. Other things. All right. Seeing nothing else under CEO reports and correspondence, let's go to director report. Harry, do you have a report to give us on Arctic? I know there's been quite a bit of activity.
Well, I'll let him do the Arctic report and I'll fill in. I also went to the election committee meeting last night.
Okay.
And it's mostly all the same faces. Their biggest concern was that our annual meeting was going to be on a Tuesday this time instead of a Thursday, and they wanted to know why that happened and how that could happen. And I asked Connie about it, and it was because that's the night that we can get a place to hold it.
Oh, there we go.
So.
And
the date of record is going to be April 5th. And the consensus was that there's a lot less work to do now that we have electronic balloting, and there were about 400 people that were still getting paper ballots. Was about the extent of the elections committee meeting last night.
Jim?
And I was thinking about this in reference to a huge amount of cyber messes in the nation. How will we protect, because our national election may go there eventually, how are we protecting that election from attack? I mean, except we're a small player, but we might be the test bed, we might be the canary. How are we doing, guys?
Is that something the election committee has talked about or even contemplated?
Not this year. When I was on the elections committee 2 or 3 years ago, they were spending quite a bit of time on that. But so far, that hour we spent last night was just kind of a meet and greet, just beginning.
Okay.
But the technology has advanced quickly in the last 3 years.
I was just going to say that was a question that I had over and over again when we were moving into electronic balloting, and I think the advice we got from the managers was that with the number, it was hard. You had to give your number, and of course, it's not as easy to protect somebody sitting at a computer from influence from others than a person who has to sign a paper ballot. But we think we have all the safeguards that we can have, all reasonable safeguards in place. Isn't that right for you?
That's correct. I think we can probably we can ask the question again of our internet folks and maybe bring that back to the executive session and have that discussion. That would be acceptable.
It's working. I'm going to have extra information here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have exactly. Somebody said, I think last month, one of the excuses were too small. One wasn't to pay attention, but that's how you learn how to do it. Beat up on somebody, died in first.
Okay. Thanks. So, Harry, you're going to.
So I missed the last few ARCTEC meetings, and Paul attended in my place, so I'll have Paul kind of report on the activities, if that's okay.
Thanks, Paul.
Well, Director Morris, I'm Paul Rossi. I'm the VP of Production and Engineering. And as they noted, I attended the last couple of meetings on January 11th and January 18th with ARCTEC. The meetings were fundamentally a review of what the consultant GDS we'll be doing, facilitating this development of a process to create our RC rail reliability
council.
And reviewed their presentation and the incorporation of presentation or inclusion of home electric and NLT, which is happening, I believe, tomorrow. And then it goes to the RCA, which will happen this Friday, and there will be a second RCA presentation in mid-February. So there are a couple of concerns during the some of the reviewers. One of the expressions of David Giles, the chair, had mentioned he had met with Siri, and Reed was a little concerned when the consultant GDS brings this beyond the RCA and now goes out to the various stakeholders. Is this a foregone conclusion? He was presented with that question, so he was just bringing that back to the board and making everyone aware that there were concerns that they were representing some sort of foregone conclusion, and there's no intention of that. That is some of the positioning that might be encountered. Otherwise, it's a development to get to a memorandum of understanding around May that the six utilities would sign on proceeding with the RRC. So they're really going out to, under contract to get all the stakeholder inputs and present this potential approach. That's it.
Question?
Yeah, Mary?
All right, thanks, Paul.
I think one other thing on the legislature has asked for the utilities and the RCA to attend a meeting down in Juneau on, and bring a paperwork with me, I think it's on the 8th, 6th,
and
13th
yes,
of February, and they'll have two hearings on where the utilities are at with both the Transco and, you know, RRC USO concept. So we'll have to go down and make presentations. We have a meeting tomorrow with the other rail belt utilities, and we'll discuss a plan on how we're going to make that presentation.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Other community reports. CC, do you have anything for us?
I have nothing under item B, Madam Chair. There have been no audit finance committees since the last regular meeting. I do have for item C.
Do you have something for review?
Yes, yeah. Other. I don't know if there's any officer governance.
We have had no ops meetings since the last.
And no governance, but I did receive some information today that we're going to receive some advice in executive session, and then we'll call a governance meeting after that.
Okay. So, with item 8C.
Yes, on your governance thing, there's a brand new article about AACD on.
Please send it to me.
Okay.
I've been trying to get it, but I can't get it, so please send it to me.
Okay.
So I did attend the, Stuart also attended the quarterly board meeting at for REIT. They had an election. I know we discussed this before. So the newly elected members are for the nonprofit constituency. They're both incumbents moving forward with Alaska Center, Niels and Dreesen with Institute of the North. Utility constituency, there were two for two, so Homer and NEA were elected. That's Dan Shea is the representative for Homer and Julia Say for NEA. Dan is a board member and Julie is staff. She's director of external affairs. The business constituency, both incumbents are seated Suzanne Settle with Siri and Doug Bott with B3 Energy. We have three at-large folks attended, Jim Norland, incumbent, Kate Troll, incumbent, and Steve Conkle, who's the new seated member. Just went through the financials, as usual, we have the CEO report by Chris, but I think the pertinent step to our board is, so Chris presented his short-term and long-term goals, and where I think under his short-term goal 4.2, which we have the packet also if you are interested to read through the whole thing and another time, but under short-term goal 4.2, get support for utilities, and we asked like, what do you mean just in terms of like how would you define that support to the utilities in these efforts that they're undergoing, and he said certainly he would be happy to be involved in the discussion where needed, but just he wanted to express that REAP supports all the efforts that utilities are undertaking now, but as far as actually, you know, they don't have the bandwidth to actually help us do a lot of the work that as far as the support he said is certainly there. We did get an update from architect, from the architect chair, to the came to the REAP board, and then he gave us an update similar to what Paul just went over, and REAP and their constituency, which is kind of part of the broader stakeholders to the architect process, they were happy to see that this third party facilitator process is underway. They just wanted to flag one thing that they're happy to be involved, but just this architect is the client for this, so they want to see how much they'll be part of the discussion. So that's, I think, that's why I can report, and we can discuss it later too if there are other questions.
Stuart?
Yeah.
There's one other thing that they have brought up, CC. It's
our renewable?
About a presentation maybe from...
Yes, of the renewable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were, REAP thought it might be a good idea since they're hearing through two gadgets outreach to our members about our green community, solar, and our green pricing. They would be interested if we were available to present to the REAP board. And Stuart pointed out about our presentation at the chamber upcoming, but if Sean or some other staff is available to engage with REAP,
sure. Yeah.
That would be great.
Other questions?
That's all I have for you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any other meeting reports? Any other things we've presented that we need to talk about? Okay. Seeing none, I see no unfinished business. Moving on to new business, item 10. Looks like we are going to hear about the International Substation Retirement. Do you want the motion first? Do we want the motion first? What do you think? Sure. If you want to make the motion, do you?
I move that the Board of Directors authorizes the Chief Executive Officer to approve project expenditures for the entire of the IMSS 138 KV facilities at an estimated amount of $2,700,000 with an estimated completion date of December 2018. The reason I wanted to read that is it sounds like the retire of the IMSS 138 KV facilities is the name of the project, right, that you're asking us to approve.
Yep. Madam Chair, I do want, we had a little bit of discussion prior to the meeting today, and it is removal, but it's also adding additional facilities, so we wanted to make sure the board understood that it's not just removal, it's installation of, well, I'll let John Sinclair is the project manager, and I'll have him kind of explain
the project. So let's talk about the motion that you made.
I think the motion's okay, but it reads goofy because they've got a name for this project.
Okay.
Sounds like it's a verb, but it's not a verb. It's part of the name.
Right.
And
right.
Then I jumped in and wanted to read it because it's awkward.
Is there a second?
Yes.
Okay. And with that, let's go into some discussion.
Okay.
So I'm John Sinclair, and yes, I'm a manager of transmission and substation, and we are doing a project that originally started as retirement. So when ITSS and SPP came online, some of the existing facilities right out here, actually, at INSS, which is our adjacent substation, were no longer needed. So there's some lattice structures there, and we're now going to retire them. And that was the original, and that's the name, retirement of those facilities. Well, as we looked at it, there was an opportunity to also move our transformers further away from the switchgear there. All of that's critical infrastructure, and if one of them goes, we didn't want to risk the chance of damaging the other one. So when we were retiring this, it opened up an area for us to move the transformers to. So that's the new facilities that are going in, is a new foundation. We're moving the transformers out, putting in new foundations, putting in the fire protection, seismic rating, oil containment, all of that infrastructure in there. So there are new facilities, and we still got to get the wires in. So even though we're removing breakers and switches and the lattice support bus there, there will be new getaway structures there as well.
Yeah. This has been a project that Factory Mutual Insurance Company has asked us.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. Brian, can you come forward so they can hear you, please?
It's a project that Factory Mutual Insurance Company has been asking us to do since the 1980s. And it really was very, very expensive because we couldn't move those 138 switchgear because it was live and we were using it. So we have the opportunity to actually do that and put a firewall between the transformers and the switchgear. So it's been... came out of retirement, and it's sort of been there. They come every year and say, you've got to do that, and we say, we don't have the money to do that. But now that we actually can do it, we're doing it. So it's
Will our premiums go down?
Yeah. And that is the question I ask them every time, and they say, oh, we're Factory Mutual. We're the engineering arm of the insurance company. We can't talk about premiums.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
where it came from. Other questions? Any further discussion? Okay, well, we have a motion. So let's take a vote. All those in favor of approval of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Hearing none, the motion passed. Unanimously. All right, moving on to item B under new business. We need to appoint, with the departure of our previous chair, she held the representative position to ARCTEC, and we need to replace that position. So we are going to nominate and vote for a replacement position. So with that, I'd like to open the floor for nominations for the ARCTEC representative.
Madam Chair, I move that the Board of Directors adopt the resolution appointing Harry Crawford as Chugach's member representative, Lee Hebert as management representative, and Stuart Parks as alternate representative to the ARCTEC Board of Directors.
Is there a second?
I'd like to have that second spot. Okay.
Oh, okay. So,
how do I do it?
Yeah, how do we nominate?
We can vote and then do the resolution once we vote it, right? We can vote for the nominee and then the second spot, and then once we know who they are, we can do the motion.
Okay, so let's do that. So
then we draw this motion. Then
we draw the motion. Okay. So let's start with taking nominations for the position of member representative.
I nominate Harry Crawford.
I'll second.
Okay, and is there a second nomination?
I did. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep. Okay. A second? And
I second. And I'll nominate myself if I have to do.
Okay. Is there a second for Jim Henderson as a nominee?
Are you ready for the chair of the position? Or
no.
Second position.
Yeah.
How are you going to do
the representative.
The representative first, and then we'll do the alternate. Okay. So there's only one nominee for the position of the representative, Harry Crawford. All those in favor of Mary taking the representative position, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none. Okay, now let's open up the floor to nominees for the alternate position.
I nominate Jimmy Anderson for the alternate.
Okay, is there a second? And are there other nominations? I'd like to nominate Stuart Parks for the alternate.
Second.
Okay, are there other nominations? Hearing none, let's vote on. Okay, thank you. We have two candidates for the alternate representative to ARCTEC, and let's take a vote. So by show of hands, those in favor of Jim Henderson being the alternate to the ARCTEC. And those opposed? Okay, thank you. So Jim, you are the alternate, and Harry will be the member representative. So now we can take the motion.
Okay.
With those.
I move that the Board of Directors adopt the resolution appointing Harry Crawford as Trugatch's member representative, Lee Hibbard as management representative, and Jim Henderson as alternate representative to the ARCTEC Board of Directors.
Second. Okay. And all those in favor of the motion as read, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Okay. Now we have one more position, well, two more people to vote on here. We have the annual meeting coming up for NRECA at the end of February in Nashville, Tennessee, and we need a CFC voting delegate. We have the current CFC voting delegate is Susan, and the alternate is Jim Henderson. Is there a motion for appointing the voting delegate and the alternate for the upcoming NRECA annual meeting?
Well, without having discussed it with Jim first, I will move that the Board of Directors appoint Jim Henderson and the CFC voting delegate and Susan Reed and the alternate.
There is a second. Any discussion on that?
I think you and I swapped it back and forth for years. That's fine.
And they're both, you're both going. Huh?
Okay.
Okay. So, is there any further discussion on that? So, the motion as read would appoint Jim as the CFC delegate and Susan as the alternate. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes as read.
Clarification. You're the delegate for the NRCA, is that correct?
Correct. Well, yeah.
Okay, that's how you see it. It's on that. Thank you.
Okay. Clear on that. With that, I think we should maybe go into executive session and take a break. So that people can have a little break, and we'll come back and talk about strategic planning. So is there a motion going to executive session?
Move that pursuant to Alaska Statute 1025.75.3, the Board of Directors go to executive session 2-1, discuss and receive reports regarding financial matters, the immediate knowledge of which was clearly in the adverse effect on finance of the property. To receive reports upon legal matters that are attorney client privilege, the immediate knowledge of which could have an adverse effect on the legal position of the cooperative.
Second. All those in favor of going into executive session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And with that, we will take a 10-minute break and re-adjourn at 6 o'clock.
Thank you.
All right. Our executive session, and we will go to direct comment. We'll start on this end, Jim.
I guess guess we'll say what I said before. Since I've been there, this is going to be an awesome, astonishingly demanding task. And if I'm speaking in soft place, because I speak softly. The folks here who are sitting in these chairs are going to be carrying away. And I guarantee you guys, it's not always going to be, it's not going to be a lot of fun. And there are going to be some joys. The end product is going to be really spectacular. And you're going to have to outweigh, because the amount of load here is astonishing. If we get any negative crap from the public, it's going to go virtual. So please, for God's sake, you can come and talk to me. I ain't come grab my rice crap on your shoulders. So do it, my God. And we'll make it. We'll make it, because you guys should do it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim Harry.
Comment is, this is an awful lot to think about, and I will stay tuned.
Stuart?
Well, I think this was a good meeting. A lot of information out there that's very valuable in helping me do the duties of a director, so that's good. I appreciate all the work the senior management and their staff's doing. And I think from the board's perspective, we all should consider if there's opportunities, you know, to be out public with the senior management. It's a very good idea. It shows unified leadership.
Rachel?
Yeah, I appreciated the opportunity to go to the assembly meeting and to see the fruits of the labor of how well prepared I felt like Chugach was, how responsive, how close everybody was paying attention to what was happening at the meeting, and the entire 5.5-hour assembly meeting, the entire Chugach staff was still working in terms of paying attention and being responsive and anticipating the questions. And I agree with Stuart. The material that I'm getting and the level of interaction that Chugach has provided and the support has really made me feel like this is a tremendous amount of things to look at, but it's a doable process for the board, so I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate your effort, Lee, and driving the team and being the single point of contact. And I just know that when something becomes a big public issue, it's really important that you maintain control over the message and make sure that people aren't saying things that are almost right. So I know you're going to have a big task. I know you can do it well. Like Jim said, stay visible, because you're the guy who's got to hone the message.
I agree with everything said, especially the things Susan just summarized. The kind of fall on your responsibility, Lee, and while doing that, finding time to pay attention at the employee level and making the time to visit our employee who's in the hospital. So I appreciate that. Thank you for everything you do and staff as well.
And with that, I'll just echo what everyone else said. Thanks so much to the staff, and the other board members. It's really nice to be as informed as we are, and we could not be this well informed when we get the questions as directors from the members. The efforts that you guys put in to working the numbers and getting the message out and making sure that we're all communicating clearly and fighting a battle in a very short amount of time, we just really, really appreciate everyone's effort. So it's going to be, I'm sure, it's super crazy right up until the time of the vote. So anything that we can do to help, we're there for you.
I appreciate the support. Staff's been doing an outstanding job. We've got a great team here. And tomorrow night, we've got Commonwealth North, so we'll do this again.
if you want any of us there, yeah, let us
know. You're all. I think it's a Commonwealth North board meeting, so I'm not. How does that work? I
think it's
probably just the board meeting, right?
Yes, it's okay. Just the board meeting. It's not like one of their big public right. forums. It's just a board meeting.
Okay. All right.
Great. But we are going to get questions.
Yeah.
From the community. Stewards, right?
Yeah. With that, I would take a motion to adjourn. Yes. And all in favor of adjournment?